about the widow's mite. You know, it's a proportional thing. And said that we've been looking at the vision of the church, and now we're having 2 weeks when we're looking at financial giving. And there are parts of the Bible that I love to preach about, and there are other parts that are more difficult. But did you notice these words? Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant or to put their hope in wealth. Command them to do good, that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. There are two things that I take from that passage. One is that this is non-negotiable. Whatever age you are, you've got to pay attention to this. He says, command them twice. So I've got to command you to do good, to be rich in good deeds, to be generous. Don't shoot me. It's just what the Bible says. The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. That's what the letter says. And God is not really interested in the wealth that you have right now. He's not really impressed by your wealth. So if you're beginning to think of your future career in terms of how much money you're going to make, God is not impressed by that one little bit. God is interested in the wealth that you are accumulating for eternity. That is what God is interested in. So if I don't bring this to your attention, am I loving you? If I bottle it because it's embarrassing to talk about money, is that a loving thing to do? I don't think so. So I hope that you can receive this as a gift tonight, because you've got to be rich in good deeds. And Jesus said, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. If you don't get this money thing right, you will not know what treasure means in your heart. Does that make sense? So, this is the barometer of your walk with God. Because money is the idol which challenges God most in your life. How do I know that? Well, put it this way, I'm not feeling a lot of love right now. I'm seeing some very, very serious expressions and a few folded arms and some slightly defensive posture. Because there's something about money that we push back against inside. And last time I preached about this, so the last time we did a stewardship campaign was 4 or 5 years, we did it 5 years ago, in fact, okay? Last time I preached about this, someone left the church. And they left the church saying, I don't like that vicar. Now, I can take it, I'm a big boy. But the thing is, I hadn't coerced them, I hadn't confronted them, I hadn't talked to them personally. I said it in a nice way, just as I'm saying it to you tonight. But there was something inside them that really resisted this message. And they projected it onto me and said, I don't like that man. And they never came back. Now, I didn't give that person personally a hard time, but it's an idol. It has the power of a god. It has the power of something you can worship. And the thing is, if you worship wealth or money or possessions or whatever, you cannot worship God, because there ain't room for both of them. And I think, personally, we have a hard time in Harrogate with this, because we are uber wealthy. I mean, we're in the top 1% of the world, and probably we're in the top 5% of this country. So where does that put each of us in global terms? The top 0.1% of the whole world in terms of wealth. Donald Trump is only slightly wealthier, you know? So we have a hard time with this one. But if you look at the Bible, 16 out of 30 of the parables are about Jesus talking about money and possessions. And 1 out of 10 verses in all the Gospels is about it. And there are 2,000 verses in the Bible on money and possessions. Do you know how many verses there are on prayer in the Bible? 500. Isn't that interesting? There are 4 times as many verses on money and possessions than there are on prayer, because if we don't put it in its place, it will control us. Now, in terms of this, in terms of this stewardship campaign, we're giving everyone over 18 and over, a letter. And outside, you should have a letter with your name on it. If you don't have a letter with your name on it, then it's because we haven't done the data protection right. So there are some blank ones, okay? But inside this envelope, there is a golden ticket. No, there is a letter from me, signed by me, to you. Yes. There, you've seen that, Abby. Yeah, very good. I didn't write it. But. No, I did. There is a leaflet, and this leaflet gives you all the information about how money is spent and how much is needed. There is a giving response form, which gives biblical teaching on giving and gift aid, etc. And there is a response card. Whatever age you are, over the next 2 weeks, we're going to ask you to respond. That's the 24th and 31st of March. And I want to say to those of you who are at school, if you have any financial income, it's God's money as well. And the sooner you start thinking about this, the more you'll grow in your discipleship. So you can do this too. Because Jesus is once, it's, you know, if you start early putting money in its place in your life, you're going to find it a lot easier as you go along. So you can start praying into this. So there's a response card, and you may be in a position to give right now or whatever, but there are various things on there. So pick that up, please, tonight. If you don't pick it up, it means we'll have to post it to you this week, which will cost 60p. So it'll save us 60p if you can get around to doing that. So we'll come on to figures later. The next 2 Sundays, we'll be asking people to respond, and the prayer meeting after next week will be about that. A couple of things to tell you. I don't keep a list, so I don't know who gives what. There are only 2 people in the church that know who gives what. That's Richard Marchbank, who's a very nice man. He's also our treasurer, and someone called Martin, who's an assistant treasurer. I don't keep a list, so I have no judgment over anybody about how much you give, and there'll be no public shaming. All right? So relax. This is between you and the Lord. Right, there'd be 2 ways of doing this. One way would be for me to say, look, here are the needs. This is the situation. Please give generously towards it. And to a certain extent, we're doing that. So we're giving you the information in the leaflet. There's our annual report, which is on the email, and it's printed out there. It'll tell you all that you need to know. But the thing is, you're not going to know 100% of what goes on in the church, and you're probably not going to agree with 100% of it. If you wait until you know 100% and you agree 100%, you won't give. Okay? Because you're not going to get to that position. So there is a certain amount of trust. But I have to say, the annual report is an amazing document. And if you even skim read it, you'll see that God is doing a lot in us and through us. So it's good to have the information. But I have to say, doing it like that makes me feel like a bit of a Del Boy, for those of you that know Only Fools and Horses. You know, can I do a good enough sell to persuade you, to impress you, so that you will then go, okay, I'll release my cash to you because you've convinced me? Well, that's one way of doing it. And I'd say, I think that while it's important the information's there, the other way, where I say to you, well, look, everything we have comes from God and belongs to him and comes from him. And I point you to Jesus as Lord and say, your money belongs to God. You're not going to take it with you. You didn't. You're only rich as you are because you happen to be born in this country at this time. How does your use of money point to the lordship of Christ? And I think that's the way that Jesus did it. Okay, so while I think, yeah, it's good to put that information out there, and I think we do a great job at this church of looking after money and stewarding it well. And also, for those of you that are worried about the parish share, we've got two curates. And that is a big investment. And they are very good curates, particularly one of them. No, that's a joke. But we are invested in as a church. So I think Jesus said stuff that says, get money right because I'm Lord. This is not so much about the church needs money, would you give? This is about your soul. This is about the person you are and the person you're becoming, however old you are. This is Sheila Ryan. She won $55 million in the Florida, in the American lottery. Now, by the way, I'm not endorsing buying lottery tickets. Although, if you happen to win a few million quid, the lottery is a tax on the poor, as far as I'm concerned. But for the purposes of illustrating the beauty of generosity, Sheila Ryan, who lived in a caravan with her two cats, Shannon and Buffy, won. I'm just telling you the names to give it historical authenticity. And also to personalize cats, because, you know, I'm just trying to. Anyway, her first response on winning this $55 million was to ask her neighbor to pray with her, because she didn't want to be changed as a person. And then she said, I think it was the grace of God I won. I realized there must have been a reason he gave me the money, so I decided to give some of it to senior citizens and the homeless. Well, actually, she established a shelter program for vulnerable women and children, Meals on Wheels for the elderly, medical aid for the elderly, a program to help poor people repair and improve their homes, job training programs, and scholarships and bursaries for young adults, and a program for stray cats. And Sheila bought a house for herself worth $260,000from $55 million. And a friend said of her these words. Her heart and her money went out to poor people. And Sheila, just before she died, she said, I thank God every day that I have the ability to help others, not that I won. Generosity now is practice for eternity. The way that you use money now is you getting ready for the age to come, when you will be raised with Christ to rule and reign with him. And Jesus said, whoever has been faithful in the small things will be entrusted with greater things. So you are blessed, and I am blessed now in order to be a blessing. And you can give financially to many things, but the only people who will give to the kingdom work of this church are you. I can't go to anybody else. So it's up to us. And as Kim was saying so beautifully last week and this morning, we get to do this. We get to do this. So how much should you give? Well, biblically, it starts with 10%. It starts with 10%. 10% is the bottom line in the Bible. It's not what you aim for. It's where you start from. And that goes right back to Abraham giving 10% to the priest called Melchizedek. And then later on, the Israelites are instructed to give their tithes, the 10%, to the priests, the Levites. And then later in Proverbs, the Bible says, give the first fruits of all your crops to God. In other words, don't give the measly little bit at the end. Give the first bit before you start spending on anything else. And then Jesus in the New Testament chastises the Pharisees because they're mean. And they give their 10%, but they do it in such a mean way that they try and do it with as little as they can possibly get away with. And he says, you've missed the whole point. So it's not a law to keep. It's something that's meant to open up your heart to generosity. 10% is a good start, and the Church of England from 1978 has recommended that you give 5% to your local church. So just as an illustration of that, I'm going to tell you what we give as a family. Don't tell Mum this. Because two reasons. One is I want to show you that I'm committed to what I'm preaching. And the second reason is I'm not defined by money anyway, so I don't care. I have no problem in sharing this information with anybody because it's not part of my identity. Why should it be? You know, when I lived in China for a couple of years, the culture there is the people, when they meet you, will ask you two questions. The first question is, what's your name? And the second question is, how much do you earn? Mind your own flipping business. But seriously, it's a cultural thing. They don't care. Anyway, we give 5% to the church. So our monthly income is £4,000. So we put £400 into an account straight away. And half of that, we give £105 a month to St. Mark's and £100 a month where Ruth's church, to Bilton. Ruth is not aware that we give £5 more to St. Mark's. That's why I say, don't tell Mum. But it does mean that we give £47.30 a week to our church. Okay. Now, we happen to be in quite a good time of our lives financially. We've got our favourite child still at home. But the other three, you know, are kind of independent, and so there's less of a drain. We're on two incomes. It's fine. It's a much easier. There have been times when we've been stretched financially, but we've always done the 10%. So it's not about being in a position to do it, because it isn't our money anyway. People say, I'm going to land here. People say, oh, well, if I won the lottery, this is what I'd do. The truth is, you have won the lottery. You've got breath. You've got food. You've got clothes. You've got life. You've got shelter. You've got grace. You've got forgiveness. You've got an identity that nothing can take away. You've got the promise of eternal life. You've got resurrection just around the corner. You have won the lottery. There is nothing that can take that prize away from you. The only question is, how are you going to spend it? So, brothers and sisters of any age, I really hope that I haven't made you feel guilty. Nobody should be feeling guilty right now. Okay? If your response to this does not come from a place of joy and overflow, don't do it. If you cannot give hilariously, as the translation of 1 Corinthians, whatever it is, says, Just to show you, I don't know the whole Bible off by heart. If you can't give hilariously, don't do it. Okay, but I also hope that I've challenged you in a helpful way to get this right before God in your life. Jesus said, if you give generously, you will open yourself up to God's generosity. Not that God doesn't want to be generous to you, he wants to bless us. But the more we open our lives up in generosity, the more able to receive that generosity we are. Okay? Does that make sense? So we're going to have some ministry now, and I'm going to invite you to respond. Who's praying tonight? Who's praying for people tonight? Would you like to come on down to the front? Anyone else available to pray for people? Come on down to the front. If we could turn off the main lights here, we're just going to sing two songs, if that's okay. Maybe one, that last one you said, Build Your Kingdom, here at the end, and one before that. And you may have recognized that inner resistance that tells you that there's some way in which this is a bit of an idol that you need releasing from, or you might need to stand up and be counted with this stuff, or you might need healing. And you want Laura particularly, if you've got arthritis, she seems to have a brilliant ministry to do that. Come down and sit down here and get prayed for. Offer all that you are and your money and everything to God. This is your chance to respond with your brothers and sisters in a safe place. We're going to sing two songs while we do this. If you don't want to come down, that's fine. Let's offer our gift of worship in song together. And you can continue to be prayed for afterwards. If you want more finance information, Richard and I will be out there giving it for 20 minutes or so in the North Room. I'll close after these two songs, but continue to worship, to minister, to respond as we go on. So let's, I think we need to switch back to the computer if we can without crashing it. Yay, fantastic. Shall we stand? We prayed, Lord.